So what are some things that the city and the developer can do to get to yes here? So things like cost-sharing agreements. Would the city be open to the developer doing a temporary package plant and creating basically the infrastructure and capacity for the city if the city doesn't have it? Mike, what's your perspective? And then Terry, what's your perspective on offering all those items?
So obviously it's a case-by-case basis. And right now I've got developments going on in two different municipal clients. One where the developer's coming in, they're actually building their own plant. Is one I tell you, it's actually on the other side of town. So they're going to build it all. We're going to work with them, do some cost sharing, oversize it so that we can provide utilities to that side of the town. It's going to take out... It's going to completely relieve one lift station. It's going to take out another lift station by doing that. I've got another one right now that's actually going to increase this is a commercial development, but they will actually want to increase the filtration system that's in our wastewater plant, and then actually they're going to buy basically everything that we can give them because they want to reuse the water for that purpose as well. So they're actually going to upgrade the system as part of it so that it can meet their needs to do that. So it's all different types of things. Phasing is definitely very, very important, and it really depends on what kind of plant that you have. Do you have, you know, the solid plant where you've got concrete down there? Is it plants where you can, you know, bring in different extensions to make the plant get bigger? And do you have a TLAP permit? Do you need more water to do all the more land to do that? Will they be willing to provide that land but through some kind of park? So it's all over the map what different options that you can offer from a city. So it's definitely worth sitting down with the developer.
Very site specific and very city specific.
Mm-hmm.
We've done, as you've said, we've built treatment plants and given them to the city. We've created districts and built treatment plants that the MUD then has capacity mm-hmm. in that treatment plant. We've built temporary plants. We've even built plants offloaded so that they could increase capacity in their existing system, mm-hmm. you know, indirectly because they then move some usage off of that. It's pretty site specific, and usually you can work through those issues. You know, if you can create a win-win where the city's going to benefit and you benefit, then it's usually a good thing to do.
How does the city or the developer feel about paying fees like a reservation of LUEs? How is that taken with the how does the city feel about that? How does the developer feel about that?
Yeah, that's actually kind of the question I was going to ask him is, you know, moving forward, how from a developer's perspective, because obviously funds are, particularly if you're talking to, well, actually all cities, you're talking about how do you fund that? What type of mechanisms have you seen put in place specifically for utilities that developers are willing to use as far as funding? Do you want something like a PIT or a TERS that's going to reverse you over time, something up front, you can do bonds?
I would say it probably depends upon the scale of the improvement.
Okay.
We've done some reservation fees mm-hmm. before. Mm-hmm. We've done it once in our career. They're not particularly happy with those, but it is what it is. We've done where we put in improvements and then get that oversized to help the city and then get capital recovery fee offsets.
Mm-hmm.
As we develop, which some cities particularly like those because they're not having to come out of pocket with a set payment, and it's only when we're adding tax base or adding value that they have to give that up. And then in bigger situations where it's beyond that capacity, then creating some form of district or a PID allows us mm-hmm. to get that money back someday. And it's really site specific and depending upon the city and their needs.
All right, great. Well, next thing we're going to get to is roadway and drainage capacity. One of the interesting things that the three of us were talking about as we were outside here, Terry had it, and I want to, before I talk to you about this, is you had mentioned something that is coming up that you are looking at from your perspective here as far as drainage. I'd love for you to share that.
Just saying, you know, when we're looking at overall drainage capacity, obviously you've got to do on-site detention in Austin, on-site water quality, those sorts of things. But in Central Texas, and I think it's much broader than that, we're in the midst of a change from old calculations of floodplain to new calculations of floodplain. And I've had it happen numerous times where somebody presents a document, engineer may have it, and legally that's the floodplain. But if you've ever been bitten by this, most cities in Central Texas are going through a process to adopt a new, what we call Atlas 14 floodplain. And I've had sites where we had a 30-acre site that we were developing, and one day none of it was in the floodplain, and the next day all of it was in the floodplain. And so that just creates a whole new level of issues that you need to address. And in that particular situation, we're probably going to spend about $1 million getting ourselves out of the floodplain, you know, to accomplish that. And it's even more arbitrary. It's not in the floodplain. It's never flooded, even with the flood that was bigger than the Atlas 14. But it's the rules you have to play by to get there. So for us, it's advantageous to be near a creek, advantageous to be near a river or whatever. But the second thing I think of is tell me what the floodplain is and what it's going to be, because we have to know to determine what the developable land is. So it's a big gotcha if you're not looking for that.
Thank you. So the major issues are, how far are the major roads, collector roads, from the development? Who's going to maintain those that once they're built? And the city doesn't have a thoroughfare plan usually in their ETJ, but do they have any sort of planning that they've thought about? So, Mike, what does the city consider?
So when the city, when these subdivisions, particularly if you're talking a large residential subdivision that's going to come next to the city, is you want to see how that's going to impact the roads. And in the two cases I'm talking about, I'm not talking about very, very, very rural areas. I'm talking about suburbs of larger cities. I've had recently a situation where we had a subdivision that was going to come in that was going to be end up being on both sides of a road. And then as it was paved by somebody at some point, we don't know who, and it was dedicated to the county back in the 70s, but the county never accepted it, does not consider it a road. And so now we're trying to figure out who's going to be responsible for that, and then what is that going to look like long term? Is it going to, now if they're going to come in and do the annexation, we're going to make them follow our thoroughfare plan? And so what does it do? Does that become a major arterial? Is it just going to be a local road? So we've got to figure that out through the TIA. And then with this one, it's going to be in 3,000 homes, and they're going to phase it in. So what is that going to look like over time? So we need to figure that out. And then also we want to know who's going to end up being responsible for the maintenance of the drainage and also the roads in the subdivision itself. Is this something that they're going to expect the city to take over? Is there going to be a MUD, a municipal development district, or something along that line that's going to handle that? Or, municipal management district that's going to handle that? Or is that something that the city's going to take over? Because that's one of the things we need to look at long term. Is that subdivision, is that development going to be sustainable long term when those roads start needing repair and things along that line? So we got to look long term, not just now, 25 years from now, what is that going to look like?